This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's January 8th, 2020. Happy New Year. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and you're listening live, you can call us right now at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. If you're listening to this on podcast, you can send an email to bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com, or you can visit and comment at Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Okay, Ron's rant of the week. Oh, first of all, Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Fran.
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. So we were away for a couple of weeks. We were away because both the Christmas holiday and also New Year's holiday happened to be on Wednesday. And, of course, the last Wednesday, we were down in Florida getting all warm and, you know, riding our bicycles and doing things that you do when you go to Florida and avoiding getting hit by cars. Anyway, it's a thing. Ron's rant of the week. Hey, New York City. Hey, New York, in general, wake up, all right? Why am I ranting on New York? I'm going to tell you why I'm ranting on New York. New York City mayor defends e-bike enforcement ahead of the governor's new bill. So here's what's going on in New York is that there are very strong laws going in to prohibit e-bikes, pedal-assisted e-bikes used essentially by delivery people. Because I don't know why. I have not really gotten to the bottom of this thing, but it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And I'm going to discover this a little bit further into the show once we get through this, but I just wanted to yell out at New York for being closed-minded and not paying attention to the fact that, you know, if you put more bicycles on the street, you'll have less congestion. Hello, have you thought about it? Have you thought about the problems that you have in a big city? And it's time to wake up. It's time to join the 90s. I'm going to back up a few decades here on this one because, you know, New York's just not paying attention. And I'm really surprised. Biggest, you know, really big city like that, the epicenter of the U.S. really in many ways, and they're anti-bicycle in the fact that e-bikes are a problem. Now, the e-bikes, well, we'll get back to it. Anyway, I want to yell at them a little bit. I want to yell at Mayor de Blasio and Governor Cuomo and let them know that I'm not really happy with their lack of knowledge of what it takes to clean their city up and also make things go a lot easier. So we're going to move on that, and I will get back to it in a minute. On a positive side, Florida. Fran and I just came back from Florida. It is not really my favorite place to be in some ways, but it was warm, and we had bikes sitting down there waiting for us, and we got to ride our bikes, and we got to go to the beach, and we got to soak up a lot of vitamin D, which is really wonderful. Big shout out to Florida. I give them a hand. And most of our journey down there, I would say, was pretty incident free as far as automobile and all, because it really is busy down there. It's unbelievably busy. So you have to be a little choosy about how you ride your bike and where you ride your bike. And we found that the woman we were staying with introduced us to a way of finding our way around on some of the back roads through the neighborhoods, which really makes a difference. And once you get that figured out, it becomes a lot safer. So that's really cool. The other person that helped us out, and a big shout out on a positive side, Ellen Larson. Hi, Ellen. If you're listening, that's great. My old friend Ellen Larson is down there. She lives in Venice, Florida now, and she is a yoga instructor and teaches free yoga on the beach every morning, which is really cool. So big shout out to her. And she was, nice enough to introduce Fran last year when I wasn't feeling well to, some of the back roads and ways to get around in town without running into a lot of cars. So once again, what are we talking about? Roads with names, not numbers. Definitely a Ron rule. So anyway, you can avoid it. Another shout out on a positive side, New York City Council Speaker Corey Johnson. Why am I calling him out? I'll talk about that a little later on when we get into this New York e-bike problem. He was the one city council member who was really willing to speak out about why the whole e-bike thing is ridiculous. But we'll move on that one in a moment. The maintenance minute. Okay, direct from Park Tools. Springtime attention brings problem prevention. And you will find that here. Hang on just a second here. So springtime is right upon us. And when a true cyclist heart turns to what else? Bicycle maintenance. With attention from you plus some elbow grease, your early season rides will be coming up roses. So this is directly from the Park Tool site. You can go to Park Tools, parktool.com, and they have a lot of tips. I've talked about them a lot because I think they really do a good job with this. And they talk about things to look at, garage bikes. The bikes have been sitting in your garage and shed all winter long, perhaps not ridden since last fall. Maybe it's time to take a good look at them. Maybe it's time to look at them and go, maybe I need to get rid of one or two of these. That's another possibility. Or, you know, convert them over, do something different. I'm taking an old cross bike right now, and I'm converting it over to a single speed. And so I'm going to have a single speed cross bike, which I'm pretty excited about. It's going to be kind of fun. I played around with that a little bit down in Florida just to get a feel for what kind of gear I would need on a flat surface. And you can do a lot with one gear. It's kind of cool. So I'm going to try to educate these old tired legs and body and get myself back in shape by using a single speed for some of the spring riding or winter riding. So I'm psyched about that. Again, they talk about things like your tires. They talk about things like your wheels, your hubs, your frame and your fork, the inspections. We've talked about this a lot. Look closely and make sure there aren't any cracks in your frame and all. I have spoken about this in the past. Look at your cockpit. Put some new handlebar tape on your drivetrain. Maybe you need a new chain, a new cassette. All these things are essential. And don't forget to lube. Make sure you lube everything up really, really nice. Again, if you need any feedback on it whatsoever, I would highly recommend the Park Tool website. They have a lot of tips and a lot of things that you can look at to address the situation of what do I do this winter with this bicycle as it's freezing cold outside and the snow is coming down, and I've got a little open space in my garage or basement that I can work on my bike. So time to work on your bike. Go work on your bike. It's a beautiful thing. So that will be my maintenance minute for today. Springtime attention. And now we're going to back up and we're going to go back to we're going to go back to New York. So New York City mayor defends e-bike enforcement ahead of governor's new bill. This is from Bicycle Retailer. And there's two days. This came out on January 7th. So, wow, we're very timely here. 2 days before Governor Andrew Cuomo is expected to propose a new e-bike bill, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said the city's enforcement of delivery workers using throttle control e-bikes is just. De Blasio addressed the e-bike debate Monday after a news conference in an unrelated topic when asked whether statistics show throttle e-bikes favored by many food delivery workers in Manhattan create a bigger safety risk than pedal assist bikes. He said, I keep coming back with something that is bluntly, in my view, better than data. It's common sense. His words. Okay, his words. The New York Post quoted de Blasio, I have seen them with my own eyes, as have so many people I've talked to all over the city. Well, Mayor Bill, here's my shout out to you. Pick up a bike and go for a ride. Let's go and follow one day. All I ask is one day. Now, back that up. Let's ask for 1 hour of your time, 1 hour to go along with a food delivery or delivery person in New York City who is using a bicycle and see what their day is like. See how congested the streets are. See how impossible it is to get around because everybody else is driving a big delivery truck and you can't get through, and you've got cars and you've got crazy people, and it's just, why would you restrict something that is, you said it, that makes common sense? Okay, the common sense here is less cars, more bicycles, less congestion, everybody's happy. Why you would take something like this out, I don't understand. Why does it have to be an electric bicycle? Why does it have to be an electric assist bicycle? I'll tell you why. Because what they're doing is they're carrying a lot of weight with them, and they need the assistance to be able to do this. So why would you restrict this? It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. I understand that there are going to be abusers out there, but those abusers also drive trucks, cars, taxi cabs, you name it, they're out there. And a truck, a car, or a taxi cab uses a lot more space than a bicycle does. So I'm just a little concerned that someone is not paying attention, and sure that we could probably get someone to comment on this. If you do have a comment to make on this, I would love to hear it. You can go to my Facebook page, Bicycle Talk, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. I want to hear your views on this, because to me, it makes more sense. Now, this is according to, I have a few pieces of information here as we looked at this closer. I have a website called the Gotham Cyclist. I also have another one called Streets Blog, and that covers cities, transportation, and policy developments in order to improve conditions for walking, biking, and transit. 31 of the more than 45,000 motor vehicle collisions resulting in injuries in 2018 were caused by e-bike riders. That's 0.07%. 45,000, okay, 31 of the more than 45,000 motor vehicle collisions. We're not talking about a whole lot here. 31 versus 45,000, that's a pretty big difference. And why would you want to restrict that? Would you want to restrict that because you're not making money off of them? Well, I don't understand. There is no common sense here whatsoever. And I use the word common sense because Mayor de Blasio loves to use the word common sense. I just can't understand. On December 26, Cuomo vetoed legislation that would have given all classes of e-bikes, including those with throttle control, the same rights of the road as traditional bicycles throughout the state. The only pedal assist bikes are allowed in the city. So you can still use a pedal assist bike. Okay, you can still get around with that, which is fine, and it's certainly doable. There's no question about that. What they're totally against is throttle control. And I think that's really what they're looking at. When Cuomo announced the veto, citing the absence of a helmet and other safety requirements, he said he would propose a new bill on January 8th. Coming, tick-tock, tick-tock. After state legislature passed the e-bike and e-scooter bill in the summer, Cuomo noted safety concerns with food delivery workers using throttle-controlled e-bikes. De Blasio began an initiative in 2014 to curb dangerous driving, which included e-bike riders. Throttle-activated e-bike riders can be fined as much as $500 and can have their bikes seized. So, I guess I understand that they're trying to limit the speed of the vehicle, whatever it may be. But if you're gonna drop down on the speed of the vehicle by doing this, then are you also targeting anyone who drives a motorized gasoline-powered vehicle or other electric vehicle? Now, you can still take an electric-powered four-wheeled vehicle, car, truck, and you could drive that in the city, but you can't use the bike. I'm missing something here. Please fill me in. Please let me know what's going on. Cuomo tweeted after his veto that the e-bike bill will not be a choice between legalizing bikes and safety. I will propose a bill that does both. All right. Well, let's see what happens here. Larry Pizza, who chairs People for Bikes and e-bike committee, is interested in what the governor has to propose. The committee was in contact with the state legislators before the bill was sent to Cuomo. We felt there were problems with the bill, Pizzi said. We've been trying to get our three-class bill passed in the state for 5 years. We started with New York and California. California was passed in the first legislative session. Well, well, well. Here we have it. What, the fifth or sixth largest economy in the world says, we're good with it, but New York says no. So defining e-bike classes was chief among the concerns. People for Bikes defines class one e-bikes as those providing assistance only when pedaling and turning off when reaching 20 miles per hour. Class two bikes feature a throttle activated motor turning off when reaching 20 miles per hour. Class three bikes provide assistance only when pedaling and turning off when reaching 28 miles per hour. So you can certainly put a restriction on there if you're concerned about the speed. But what is the speed on the streets of New York City? That's a big question right there. And if the speed limit in New York City is 30 miles an hour on the city streets, which I find kind of hard to believe, I can't imagine it would be much more than 20 or 25. But if it is, then no class three bikes. That's all. Very, very simple. And the other thing that you have to understand is a lot of these bikes are cargo bikes. They're bikes that are extra heavy duty. They're built with racks and they're built with big big cargo carrying capacity on them. Some of them have large trailers that they're pulling behind them that are carrying a lot of gear they're using for delivery. It just makes more sense to put more bicycles on the street and less cars and trucks. Anyway. That's me talking from a cyclist perspective and upset with the fact that anyone would even have this type of legislation. New York State proposed legislation classified e-bikes as those with pedal assist with 20 mile per hour maximum, throttle control with 20 mile per hour maximum, and throttle control with 25 mile an hour maximum. E-scooters would have been capped at 20 miles per hour. Riders would need to be at least 16 years of age, and local municipalities would decide if they would be allowed on the sidewalks, something I'm completely against. But anyway, that's another sore subject and another time for another rant at another place. So what we're doing here is there have been a number of tweets on this. Obviously, people are getting upset with what's going on here, and e-bike workers are what we're being discriminated about, as if powerful and privileged people have never rationalized discrimination and harm as common sense. Just makes no sense. It just makes no sense. So this is something that I was just amazed when I read this. I couldn't believe that de Blasio was so concerned about this. And so anyway, it is just common sense, Mayor de Blasio, that we would continue to keep these bicycles on the streets of New York City and not give them a hard time about being there and not have law enforcement be pulling them over. Doesn't law enforcement have something more important to do than pull over people who are trying to earn a decent living delivering items on their e-bicycles? I think that's really what we're looking at. So anyway, that's some of the talk out there. There's an awful lot of talk out there, actually. There's another website called Gothamist.com that you can go to, and you can read a little bit more about how they are addressing this. Streets Blog. Streetsblog.org. And if you go to the NYC version of it, you'll see that there's some good information in there too. This little article right here, Queens poll to NYPD, stop cracking down on delivery workers while Albany deals with the Kumho e-bike veto. So this is, these are obviously people who are not aware of what it is like to try to transport yourself in an alternative way. And these are people that, I mean, I am certain that Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio are probably sitting in their big limos and they're being transported all over town. And their limo driver's probably screaming about all the bicycles that are in his way. This is obviously very, very biased. And I really can't understand why they would even be talking about this at this level. But they are. In the meantime, ongoing police stings, which could result in a $500 ticket and the seizure of the bike, hurt some of the lowest paid workers in the city. Okay, the New York Police Department will not say how many bikes have been confiscated, but cops handed out more than 1,100 summons last year. That's from the New York Times. More often than not, these workers own their e-bikes and scooters, and they are people of color and diverse backgrounds. And most importantly, their vehicle is a means to a living and the American dream. So, anyway, New York City Police Department has a real opportunity to gain trust with otherwise and understandably weary immigrant communities. There is no doubt e-bikes are here to stay, so it is on us as leaders to develop a plan how they fit into our streetscape. This, again, common sense. I will use the mayor's words over and over and over. He talks about common sense, and common sense is definitely what he is not displaying right here, because he has never sat behind the handlebars of a bicycle while riding through the streets of New York. Or if he has, he has a very, very short memory. Maybe it's time for him to, you know, take an hour out of your day and go out and join one of these people and see what it's like to live their life with their e-bicycle and their delivery vehicle. And see, they're working very, very, very hard. So let's go easy on them. I just think this is a ridiculous bill, and it's something that needs to be ratified right away. And then we go to someone that I mentioned in the positive side in the earlier part of the show. I mentioned a city council speaker, Corey Johnson. So Corey Johnson has been, he's been very, very open as far as and verbal about this whole situation. And this is something that he does not feel that it makes sense. He has been tweeting about it. He says we need to legalize e-bikes for delivery workers. This should not be our enforcement focus. There's plenty of other things you can focus on. So Corey Johnson has a tweet here that is listed, and it says, we need to legalize e-bikes for delivery workers. This should not be our enforcement focus. It just makes sense. And then Streets Blog New York commented that this council speaker, he's Corey INNYC, trolling the New York Police Department, 13th District, might just be the best thing we've seen all year. This is a peak, Johnson. So really, really nice to see. Efforts to legalize e-bikes are moving slowly after a jolt of momentum from the e-scooter industry last fall brought a slew of city council members on board. That effort stalled, however, when Johnson's legal team insisted that legalization requires action from state legislature, a position contested by some advocates. This is the whole New York City e-bike problem. There's more than enough people being pulled over for e-bike usage in New York. I remember seeing a photo, and I should have clipped it and shared it on my Bicycle Talk Facebook page, because it was a photo of not only someone being detained while being on their e-bike in New York City with a big New York City police car blocking. Yes, that's right. Blocking and parked right in the middle of the bike lane, which is just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So just a couple of things right there. Makes no sense. And what we need here, as the mayor says, is common sense. So let's be commonsensible about this. Anyway, we're going to move on. I ranted about it a lot. I think it's really important. I think it's something you need to bring up. What is your town doing for e-bike usage? Or do you have restrictions in your town as to how it works? Are scooters an issue? I know they are in a lot of cities. I know the scooter thing has become more of an issue in a number of cities than the bicycle thing has. But this is inexpensive transportation. It does allow people who do not have a lot of finance to be able to get around without having to pay a lot of money for it. And it makes a lot of sense. Or rather than be so upset about it, maybe it's time for the big cities to redefine and refine their mass transportation services so it makes more sense to be on a bus or a subway car or a train or whatever it is to get around. That would be another thing to talk about. So it's New Year's. It's people are making they're making resolutions. I'm sure that we all have our ideas of, I would like to do this for 2020. I want to ride my bike more. I want to ride to more places. I want to, I have a goal of breaking another, maybe it's another 500 miles more than I did last year or whatever it is. Not that it really matters. I'm more of a time guy than I am a mileage guy. I like to focus more on hours spent on the bicycle than I do miles spent on the bicycle. Spending your focus on miles ridden and the speed at which you ride them, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. Why not just put in the logged hours that you put on a bicycle? That makes a whole lot more sense for me. So as we go into winter, there are a number of people that let the air out of their tires, or hanging it in the garage or in basement actually lets its own air out of the tires, and they don't do anything. And that would not be the two people that are sitting in the studio right now, because we are extremely active in the wintertime and we keep it up. Fran has become the queen of Zwift. She is a very, very active Zwifter right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm the queen of Zwift. The queen of Zwift is Sue Del Ponte.
Shout out to Sue. Yeah, I think there are a number of queens of Zwift out there.
The king of Zwift is Bill Damaris.
Yes, those are two local people that we know that spend a tremendous amount of time on Zwift. And, you know, rightfully so, they're getting great fitness from it.
I have a lot of friends who do Zwift. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, and Fran is she's at a point right now where she's getting all these friends from all over the world.
I'm at level 10.
So you're at level 10.
Yeah.
And again, I am not really sure what that means, but that's I'm sure there's some meaning to that.
I think you level up mostly based on how many miles you've ridden, and it may also, I'm not sure if you get extra push from certain accomplishments, like if you do a ride or a race or a workout or something, or you get a KOM or a QO, you might level. I'm not sure. You know what? Maybe I'll look that up.
You should look that up. Find out what that means. So there's a world called Zwift. There's also a world called Peloton. These are both indoor cycling mechanisms to keep you riding in the off season or on a cloudy day or whatever it is that you need to do it. But anyway, this is a world, and it's a world that I was not as aware of. I'm definitely aware of the fact that, you know, I know all about indoor classes at fitness centers and some indoor classes which are sponsored by local bicycle shops. I know about all these things, but I'm not as aware of the world of Zwift, which is quite an entertaining world. There's thousands of people on this thing all the time, and they're riding their bicycles on their smart trainers, and they're recording the miles and you know, communicating with their friends, and it's very, very interesting. But let's back up just a little bit. Okay, we're going to back up to, let's see, where did I find it here? We're going to talk a little bit about detraining, okay? So detraining, the truth about losing fitness. All right, because there are people that just couch it all winter long. They grab a clicker, a bag of goodies of some sort, and a favorite beverage, and they lay around. And
do people really do that?
Do people really do? Yes, oh, people really do that. Right. I had a friend that I rode with for a very long time. He used to do that every single winter. And then he went into secret training, and that took care of that problem. But so he doesn't do it anymore, that I know of, but I haven't spoken to him in a few years, so it's hard to say. But he was known for couching it. So couching it happens. The fitness mantra, you must use it or lose it, might be a bit of a cliche, but it turns out this saying perfectly sums up one of the key principles of fitness and exercise, reversibility. At a time of year when it's tempting to leave the bike in the shed, it's even more important to maintain fitness. So as long as you train, you can maintain and hopefully build your fitness levels. However, stop training and your fitness levels will steadily decline. So the question is, how much fitness will I lose if I decide to take a break and I'm forced to stop training because of an injury or an illness? And, you know, I was put into this situation a couple of times recently due to a medical issue, and I had to back off and I had to go back and try to regain my fitness. And so anyway, I found this little piece. It was kind of interesting. It's from Cycling Weekly, which is a British concern, and they have things that happen. Okay, day zero. This is the last training day for the next 6 months. All right. After today's ride, you store your bike away, hang up your cycling shoes, join the bulk of, once again, it's from British. It's from Britain, the Britons, who do not regularly vigorously exercise whatsoever. Day zero. Day three. After 3 days of inactivity, you might expect that your fitness has already begun to decline. In reality, however, the losses at this stage are very small. If you had been training hard prior to day zero, after 3 days of rest, your cycling fitness is probably enhanced because you got rest. What do we talk about all the time, Fran? We talk about rest. It's a beautiful thing. That's because in those 3 days, your muscles have had time to fully recover. Your muscle carbohydrate stores, your glycogen, have been topped up. Your muscle fibers damaged during hard training have been fully repaired, and favorable metabolic changes in the muscles have had time to occur. Indeed, this peak in performance after a few days of rest is exactly the reason why tapering works and why you shouldn't train right up to the day of a big event. Okay, let's jump ahead. Day 7, week 1. So after a week's complete inactivity, changes begin to occur in the body that result in fitness losses. 1 week. 1 week. For example, after 3 days, your blood volume can be reduced from anywhere by 5 to 12%, which means a decrease in the amount of blood to your heart can pump, the amount of blood your heart can pump, both in terms of amount of blood pumped per beat and total blood volume per minute. The result is that your heart has to work slightly harder to maintain a given workload on that bike. There are some metabolic changes too. After 6 days or so, the muscles begin to become less efficient at soaking up glucose, the body's premium fuel for exercise, from the bloodstream. This means that during exercise, you need to place more reliance on your limited muscle glycogen stores, and also that you become less efficient at building up those glycogen stores after exercise. So, a third change is that your muscles start to become less efficient at coping with lactate accumulation during sustained efforts of hard cycling. The upshot is that you won't be able to sustain quite the same exercise intensity before having to back off because of the burning sensation in the legs and the labored breathing. Week 2. All right, 2 weeks in, weeks 2 to 3. At this point, your maximal oxygen uptake, your VO2 max, the prime measure of your aerobic fitness, will have declined by anything from 4 to 20%. Part of this stems from reduced cardiac output, not helped by the fact that the muscle mass in the pumping chambers of the heart can decrease by almost 20% after 3 weeks of inactivity. Just 3 weeks of inactivity, and you could lose as much as 20%. That is amazing. That's it. It also arises because changes in the muscle physiology and biochemistry that are beginning to take place. For example, the fine network of muscle capillaries built up with endurance training begins to decline. As a result, oxygen uptake in the muscles can decline by up to 8%. All right, here we go. 1 month. Okay, 1 month in. Haven't done a thing. 1 month. I went through this, by the way. I did maintain a level of walking and some minor level of fitness, but I was definitely not on the bike for a while. After all of the detraining changes outlined that we just talked about continue to progress, fundamental muscle changes are now becoming prominent. By now, your muscle capillarization, excuse me, will have returned to your pre-training baseline. However, it's still likely to be higher than the people who have never trained. So, you know, you're not totally killing yourself at this point. Alterations are taking place in your muscle biochemistry. The biochemical pathways that help your muscles turn fat, burn fat for energy, start to become less efficient, making it harder to burn while you ride, which in turn reduces your endurance capacity. On top of that, not only your overall muscle mass declining, reduced by your maximum power and strength, muscle fibers known as type 2A, is that right? Used during high-intensity sustained efforts start to revert to type 2X fibers and with greatly reduced endurance capacity. In short, your ability to maintain a full-out effort, for example, to sprint to a finish line, diminishes dramatically. Okay, 2 to 3 months. Ouch, 2 to 3 months. Now, let's bear in mind that, you know, people can have health issues, and they could still be a very strong cyclist, a very, very, very fit person. But sometimes life comes at you faster than you realized, and you can run into some health issues. So this, I know it sounds dramatic, 2 to 3 months, but after 2 months of inactivity, your heart is noticeably less muscular. The thickness of the muscle walls that comprise the pumping chambers is reduced by as much as 25%. The muscle mitochondria is also becoming less efficient at using oxygen to produce energy in your muscles. The efficiency can decline by 25 to 45% up to 12 weeks after training cessation. So that's month three. Not good. And then if you go really crazy with it and you decide that couch potato is your new lifestyle and you're not going to do anything, we go to 6 months. And by 6 months, your fitness declines have been mostly stabilized. However, there are still undesirable changes taking place. For example, the actual volume of mitochondria per unit volume of muscle is declining, further reducing your ability to utilize oxygen during exercise. You've almost certainly gained body fat due to lower daily calorie burn and loss of muscle mass. So while you may not have gained weight on the scales, you'll have almost certainly become fatter, quote unquote, with all the health risks that is involved there. Boy. So the rule here is try to stay active on a regular basis here. Try to keep your body going. Long declines in fitness really do add up. They do run into a problem. You are going to feel an effect on it. So I know 6 months is very, very dramatic. Even 1 month shows signs of some drama there. So you definitely want to come up with some sort of a plan. It is, after all, the new year. Sit down, figure it out, and see what you need to do to get yourself back in shape or to maintain shape. So you can definitely work on this. Now, my recommendation, and I've set programs up for people on this, they look at me and they say, I want to do this particular ride this year. And it's in June, let's say. My recommendation is that you start with the date of which you are intending to reach the your goal. As far as, let's say it's the second weekend in June. And at that point, what I like to tell people is you start I would use a spreadsheet on this. You can put the calculations in, and I would take the number that you're looking at that you want to achieve, and I would gradually start to reduce that by 10% each week. And so if your goal is to hit this high number, and you know you have to build up to it, this is the best way to do it, because each week then you're working your way backwards, working back until you finally get to a point where you're at ground zero and you're starting back out again. And it may mean that you're only going to get out and exercise or ride your bicycle even once a week. It may turn into that. That's a possibility. I prefer to not let myself get to ground zero, because I think ground zero is really, really hard to work from. But it is a way of, this is a way of calculating it out. Right now, I'm thinking right now, I'm 5-6.5 hours a week. I'm sitting on an indoor bike right now. So that's a fair amount. And then when I'm in the summertime, it's like 10 to 12 hours a week.
Yeah.
Once again, I like to go by time. Time is a more achievable number than throwing crazy miles at yourself. So do it as far as time goes. And so I never really dropped down, although before the holidays, I was only teaching a couple of days a week, and so I was down to really 2 hours, which was greatly reduced, with an occasional something or else going on in there. So, you go for a hike, you do this, you do that. And again, if you're logging time, then you can look at it more realistically. I would say I never am less than 3 or 4 hours a week at my bare ground zero minimum. And then you want to build up off of that. That makes sense to me. That makes a lot of sense. So if you have a goal as far as what you're looking for, if it's the XYZ ride that you must go on because you do it every year and you want to be ready for it, maybe it's your first metric century of the year. Maybe
April 5th.
April 5th. So here you are.
So what am I going to do?
So your plan starts today.
Oh.
Okay, what you do is you take April 5th, and it is a metric. Is that what it is?
And it's going to be pretty flat.
Yeah. So you want to give yourself a couple of rest days before that, so that you go in ready to, like, really kill,
You mean out. Like on April 4th?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So you're going to have a couple of layoff days just to, like, chill the body out, let the body recover. Remember what it said here on this with this piece I was just talking about, how 3 days in you're actually probably in better shape than you were when you stopped completely.
Right.
Okay. So back it up 3 days, and then from there you want to do the 10% rule and back it up. And that's when you begin your training. And if your goal is to do that ride at that point and you're looking for miles, again, I like to look at it as, look at how long you believe it will take you to ride the metric century.
Mm-hmm.
So if the metric century being a 62-mile ride is something that you're going to be able to complete in 4 or 5 hours, then start with that and then work your way back. So that's what you're looking at. If your goal is to not only do that, but also increase your speed and your power as you're doing that, then you can fit that all into your workouts.
Right.
But you gotta start from the event and work your way back.
Yeah.
Same thing if you're doing a century. I have set up programs for people that are doing a century. I've given them a 12-week program, and you can ride a century in 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a nice base of 4 or 5 hours a week already in the wintertime, it's way easier to get there.
Sure.
It's a whole lot easier. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you can even make the increments less than 10%.
Yeah.
So you can bring it down to, 5%, 6% each week as you slowly, slowly increase. But what you'll do by doing that is you won't hurt yourself.
Well, I think what I'm going to do is I'm not sure if I'm going to do it in hours or miles, because the neat thing about Zwift is you're actually riding miles.
You are.
But
yes.
But and what I tend to do when I have an event like that, you know, like when I'm doing off-season training in the winter, I do it in hours. But as I get closer to the event, then I do it in miles because I want to make sure I can do the miles. And I just have no idea what the weather conditions are going to be like in March.
Right.
And so, I mean, I may be able to get outside a little bit in March here, which will be helpful. But, you know, if I can't, I'm going to have to do all those miles on a combination of spin class and Zwift.
Right.
So that's what I'll probably do. And I'm wondering, one of the things that we ran into with me is that if I tried to have my long day be spin class, extreme spin day. Extreme spin is very difficult, and extreme spin is very taxing.
It is.
And I found that if I added on miles on that day, it exhausted me. And so.
And you were putting a lot on. You were doing like 3 hours,
yeah,
if I remember correctly.
Right, right. I was getting up to 3 hours.
Which is a little excessive.
And I'm just wondering if it's necessary to do that. One of the. Do you have. Somewhere there's a calculation of if you're doing a hard train. What does that translate to in road miles? What does extreme spin class really translate to in road miles? Because if you called it more miles than what it actually, it's an hour and a half. What does it really translate to? Maybe 2 hours on the road.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then I don't have to worry about getting the exact getting in a 4 hour ride unless I can get on the road before I go to do that metric. Like if I've done good training before that, even if I get as much, because I could probably do 3 hours. And you know what? I could probably do 3 hours. I do an hour and a half in your class, maybe a little bit more or less, and then get on Zwift at home and then that and do, and I don't have to ride hard. Because if I've done an hour and a half hard, I can do the rest of it easy. But is it necessary for me, as I'm working up to that metric, is it necessary for me to do all of the miles on the same day?
I don't think so.
Right?
Do you? I mean,
because the other option would be to pick another day of the week and do easy, long, slow distance. But I wouldn't want to do, I don't know if I'd want to do 3 or 4 hours long, slow distance, unless it was a gorgeous day. You know, I don't know if it would be necessary to do. Because that's something that I've run into, that the other thing I would try to do is do a long ride on Saturday and then do extreme spin on Sunday. And I was just exhausting myself doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's not really what you're looking for, because that's not building you up. It's not giving you, what you really need.
No. So. And so how do you, I mean, the ideal thing, that's why the ideal thing would be to probably have, that's why in the end, we did one long, hard day.
Right.
And I wonder if I should just top it out. If part of the long, hard day is extreme spin class, just top it out at 3 hours and don't go over that, even though the ride's going to be 4.
Yeah.
Well, because part of it is extreme spin, and extreme spin is extremely taxing.
It is.
And then another hour and a half of just riding in the saddle.
I think the extreme class is, and a lot of indoor workouts are probably more taxing than you're going to get outside anyway.
That's why I'm asking you. Is it necessary? Is there an equivalency? So in other words, if you're saying that the extreme spin class is harder than riding outside, can I count it? It's an hour and a half. It's an actual hour and a half class, but can I count it as, say, for example, 2 hours?
Yes, absolutely.
That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think
right.
It's fair.
So in other words, if I wanted to add on and, you know, go do Zwift at home after that, well, because I'm preparing to do a metric, and the metric is on April 5th.
April, and we're going to be running spin classes all the way through March.
That's right.
Gotcha. Now I'm starting to put this
That's together. What okay. I'm asking you. It was easier last year because it was on May 5th.
Right.
But this year it's on April 5th, and I'm going to be in the north, in the frozen north, until April 4th.
Right.
And as you said, on April 4th, I'm not going to ride because I'll be traveling to get there. And then on April 3rd, it'll be Friday, so I'll be at the office, and I probably won't even exercise on April 3rd.
Just so you know, that extreme class is going to end probably close to 2 weeks before your event.
Oh, so then I'm okay. All right. That's interesting.
Yeah. Because it's going to, it goes in, it's 11 weeks.
Ah.
And
all
it starts this Sunday.
Yes.
So you're going to see probably up until either the next to last or last week in March is when that class is going to be. So you're going to have a buffer of time between.
Right.
In which case, you'll probably want to put, you know,
just
hopefully,
easy but long miles.
The roads will be clear.
Right.
And you'll be able to get outside and you'll be able to do something outside, which would make a lot more sense because it's more real mileage.
For sure.
You know, it's real.
Having said that, you can go on a 40, 50, 60 mile ride. I mean, people do metrics now on Zwift.
Oh, I know they do. Yeah, big shout out to Kim.
Huh?
We've been following you.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're listening. So anyway, that's it. That's what I've got for today. We will cover this next week. I have some winter cycling exercises that you can use for strength and conditioning. And we could talk about that a little bit because there's definitely some things you can do over the winter to help harden your body and get you ready for the spring. It is winter, so we're going to talk about winter. We're going to talk about the training. We're going to talk about what you do. I know there's people out there that are still riding outside. I know there's people out there that switch over and they primarily spend a lot of time on their mountain bicycles instead of the road bicycles if they're a road rider or, you know, whatever. Vice versa. Sometimes if it's a really muddy winter, I know there's a lot of mountain bike people that spend time back on the road because the trails are too muddy. So there's a lot of things you can do. But my reach out to you is, why don't you let me know what you do for winter training? I'd love to hear your reviews as to what you do for winter. You can place it on the Facebook page, Bicycle Talk, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. So on the events list here, really quickly, and then we are going to finish this up, I just want to mention that Saturday, February 1st, and Sunday, February 2nd. Sunday, February 2nd. What is February 2nd? It's Super Bowl Sunday here in the United States.
I thought it was Groundhog Day.
It is also Groundhog Day.
And also, what is it? Candlemas.
Yeah, okay. But you know what else it is? It's the UCI Cyclocross World Championships.
Oh.
Yay. It's World Championship weekend. It's on the 1st and the 2nd, and it is in Dubendorf, Switzerland. Dubendorf, Switzerland. So that's where the worlds are. I will eventually post something on the Facebook page and you can link into it so you can check out the course and what's going on. And I will probably talk about this in a future episode so we can talk a little bit more about cross because it's not over yet. Nope, it's the World Championships. So we'll see how that all goes. Backing up, we will go to, I think that's all I have in events right now. I know there's more events. I know that, CCAP has got some stuff going on. There's definitely some happenings out there, for winter. I know there's training classes, all these different things happening. But, anyway, as we move forward here, I will tell you that the views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. And my name is Peddlin' Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, the lovely Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live or on podcast and you'd like to comment, send me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Or you can also comment on Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can listen to our past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, I have guests lined up. It's coming soon. Please send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Peddlin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs.